So here's what we got to do. Let's stop talking about donuts on the show because it's making it harder for me to stick with my no sugar routine.
Everybody knows you're not going to stick with it anyway.
I'm in it 24 hours so far. 24 hours without sugar. And they said it couldn't be done.
Give you a week.
A week?
No, I'm only giving you one more day.
Oh, no. I'm doing this, man. I'm doing this for real. I got to beat Bergman. I'm getting to 200 before he gets to 190.
Yeah, don't see that happening. Hey, did we track down Clinton?
I'll call him right now. My bad.
Okay. George just forgot.
George's like, my bad. Oh, while we got a minute, hey, a shameless plug. New Culture Pop podcast is out right now. It is with one of the stars of Dead to Me, which is a really, really funny show.
Oh, yeah. Lisa watches it. It's Christina Applegate, right?
Yeah. Sam McCarthy joins us. He plays Christina Applegate's son, and he happens to be Andrew McCarthy's son. So he's the son of a Brat Pack member, and he's got some stories about his dad. And, John, when you think Andrew McCarthy, what's the one movie you think of?
Well, it's mine's going to be different than yours.
Okay.
Most people think of Weekend at Bernie's. I think of St. Elmo's Fire.
I think of St. Elmo's Fire, too.
Yeah.
To me, that was one of the great movies of my grown-up years. I think it was in college when that thing came out. That was great. And Sam McCarthy, young Sam McCarthy, has never seen the movie, so I tried to set him straight on that. You can hear the podcast. Go to stevemason.com. Easy to click on, listen to, and subscribe.
Last night, in case you like were busy or sleeping or you know, eating donuts, the Lakers put on the most impressive performance any team has had in the bubble. They were ahead 15-0 from the get-go. They never trailed in the game, Mace, not once. At one point, they were up by 38, and they ended up winning by 20 in what offensively and defensively was as close to a perfect performance as you can have. They shot lights out, both from the field and from three. From the field last night, they shot 56%. From three, they shot 44%.
Yep.
And they had an almost perfect night, and now they lead 3-1, and we'll try and put it away tomorrow night. And by the way, Damian Lillard out for the Blazers tomorrow night with a bad knee.
You want a sassy stat?
Sure.
Okay. What individual player in this series leads the Lakers in defensive rating?
Oh. And it's obviously not AD.
Correct.
I'll throw out a wild card. Caruso.
Caruso is number one, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis, third place. By the way, this is Trevor Lane. I should give credit. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation. Guess who's second? So it's one is Caruso, three is Anthony Davis. Who's got the second best defensive rating for the Lakers in this series?
I'll guess Kuzma.
Kuzma is absolutely right. He has really, really improved dramatically defensively. And that is a huge plus for the Lakers because when he's not hitting shots, and by the way, last night he had a really good night. When he's not hitting shots, he is still making himself a force defensively. So a huge improvement for Kyle Kuzma defensively. I think he's played really well in the bubble so far, at least in the playoffs so far.
And I think they're going to lock it up tomorrow night, and then it's all eyes on the Thunder and Rockets, because when that series ends, the Lakers play the winner of that series. It's tied 2-2. Who do you like there?
Give me OKC. I think they've been, you know, the most solid team all year long, one of the most solid teams in the league. In fact, I think they had the third best record between Thanksgiving and the shutdown. So I think Oklahoma City is poised to knock Houston out. What about you?
I think Houston wins it. I think Houston wins it. I just think Harden's too good, so we'll see what happens. Are we still waiting for Clinton?
Yep.
Yes, apparently.
Okay, so George, cue this up. Mace, what did you challenge me to do last night?
Oh, yeah, I challenged you to use my three least favorite broadcast play-by-play cliches.
George, hit it.
John Ireland, Michael Thompson with you. Lakers in Portland in the Orlando bubble, game four of their best of seven series. The Lakers lead 2-1, and they lead in this game 56-35. And Michael, you and I have great respect for Damian Lillard. He's one of the elite players in the NBA. So if you're the Lakers, you got to expect the unexpected. Lillard can score the basketball. He's got ice water in his veins, but they've held him to 5 points so far in this one.
You got him
like them apples.
You got all three of them basically into the same sentence.
Yep.
That is really, really impressive.
Yes. Don't try and clown me with your easy. I need something tougher than that.
Do you ever use score the basketball?
Never.
Who started score the basketball?
I don't know. Somebody, was it you that told me Mike Breen says that every once in a while?
Yeah, Mike Breen does use score the basketball. Or score the ball.
Yeah.
It's like just score.
Yeah, what else are you going to do with the basketball?
Yeah, you're shooting it, you're scoring. You don't need to score the basketball. It goes without saying that when you score, it is the basketball. Yeah, so congratulations, John. That is really impressive. I'm glad we didn't put mythical money on that.
Yeah, that would have been easy mythical money to take. Lindsay, by the way, have you added up the mythical money?
Yes, let me pull that open here. You are winning by quite a bit.
Well, because I had that Colin Morikawa hit, but I'm also going to beat Mason on the Dodger bet.
But, I mean, that wasn't a big bet. What was that?
5K.
Was it 5K?
Yeah.
We're all going to go into football season with a pretty good stack of cash. Imaginary
cash. You have
154,000. Who's
John?
You?
John.
Okay.
I've got 145.
So you're nipping at my heels.
Mason's got 143, but I didn't. Lakers game two, he bet on them, so I got to subtract from that. So you've got about 140.
No, he won.
No, Lakers game two, I won.
Two.
Oh,
I
yeah,
laid
you're
the
right,
points.
You're right. All right, so you're about tied with me then for 145.
Okay.
And then George has 114.5 because he took over for Funch.
He took over for Funch.
Everybody's
okay, got
in
it.
The black.
Oh, I want to make a bet against the Clippers tonight.
Oh, you should.
Why do you guys normally – are you guys normally not in the black?
I was way down last year and hit a bunch of parlays, and on the last week of the season, I almost stole the whole thing from Bergman. He had the lead for the whole year – and I almost hit a six-team parlay. I won the first five games, and I only needed the Monday night game to knock him out, and somebody choked. But, normally you're under because you're betting on everything left, right, and sideways. Because you start with 100,000. So normally,
well,
we haven't
we
bet
didn't
that
have
much.
We sports for like 6 months, so
right.
We barely had anything to
right.
bet
yeah. Give me $2,500 on the Dallas Mavericks +8. +8 is the number.
Yeah, remember, no Porzingis.
Yeah.
And playoff P, pandemic
playoff
P, is due.
He could go off at any moment,
yes,
playoff
he's due to have a big game.
By the way, we talk about playoff P. Lemon Pepper Lou has
played
been unbelievable.
Great.
Yeah, he's played really, really well.
Okay, now Michael makes this distinction too. I just got a tweet. Why can't people distinguish between Lindsay Fulton, who produces our show, and Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN LA.
It's a very good question.
So here's a guy, George Porgy, says, that's got to be a fake name, says, ESPN's producer Lindsay Theory, whose personality is not very cheery. She's always suspicious of Mason Ireland's wishes. Maybe she should be named Lindsay Leary. It's a good limerick.
Poor Lindsay Theory, because she's like the cheeriest person ever.
Right.
She is the nicest person.
But Lindsay Theory doesn't produce our show. Those are two different Lindsays. Lindsay Theory was, that's another person you were on, that was on yesterday, you forgot, Mace.
Oh, Lindsay. Yeah, I know. I love Lindsay.
Lindsay Theory and Lindsay Fulton are two different people. There's not just one Lindsay that hovers above the Mason and Ireland show and produces it and covers the Rams for ESPN LA. Those
yeah,
are two different Lindsays.
There are multiple Lindsays. Yes, multiple Lindsays. This is Lindsay the songwriter. We have Lindsay
exactly.
the songwriter. She's composing something beautiful as we speak. George's laugh is great.
She's rolling her eyes probably, right, Lindsay?
Yeah, she probably is. We can't
I'm rolling
see her,
my eyes while I'm trying to reach Clinton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
well,
nice.
Why don't we take a quick break? We'll try to get Clinton. Bottom of the hour, we got a special announcement. We've got that. Pete Arbogast is going to join us. And then at...
How do you do?
At 3:45 is Game of Games. And, John, yesterday I got a must-needed win. Now, if not, I'm not mistaken, it's your game again today.
No, you can't make the other guy do two games in a row. So you just basically you moved up. So it's your unless you don't have one. Unless you don't have one.
If I invoke, I don't have one because I thought today was going to be.
No, I can go, and then you just go Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay, I'll do Wednesday, Thursday. That sounds good. Okay. So Game of Games is coming up for you at 3:45 today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And standing by is Shosh. How you doing, Shosh?
Hi, Shosh.
Hey, I'm good. You guys, happy Taco Tuesday to you too. Lindsay, we love her. She's a great songwriter, and she owns a bulldog. She owns a bulldog like
you. Yes, she does. Chewy.
Little Chewy.
I love her. She's got to meet Jake from State Farm, my bulldog. They would love each other.
Jake from State Farm.
Hey, do you guys remember years ago when I worked with you, I had a snake named Jake?
Jake the Snake. I do remember that.
Jake the Snake.
Yeah, and now I have Jake from State Farm, the bulldog, so it's all good.
Very nice.
I love Lindsay. Lindsay.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. John says there is a reason that we are playing Elton John and Crocodile Rock.
Mace,
yo.
Did you see the movie Rocket Man?
Of course.
All right. Exactly 50 years ago tonight.
Yep.
August 25th, 1970, is the night Elton John opened at the Troubadour, Doug Weston's club on Sunset Boulevard. That's the scene that's portrayed when they come in and Elton John announced himself to Los Angeles. It was generally considered that night that if he flopped, he was done. He was going to go back to England with Bernie Taupin, who wrote all the songs, and they were going to do something else for a living. They were talking about getting a job in a shoe store because he had toured in England. He had been booed off the stage in France.
Yep.
He had nothing going. And he came to the Troubadour, which is a small club. I think it's still there, isn't it?
It's still absolutely still there. Legendary club.
And he blew everybody away at the Troubadour. Neil Diamond was asked to introduce him. Neil Diamond had never met him. Neil Diamond was there, introduced him. There were a whole bunch of other rock stars, including Linda Ronstadt, in the audience that night. And word began to spread. And as a matter of fact, they ended up going out with two girls that night. And one of them is the one that Bernie married. And that's who Tiny Dancer is about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But so this was August 25th, 1970 was the night Elton John played in L.A. for the first time at the Troubadour 50 years ago tonight.
So I got one of these. You got that piece of music queued up, Jorge? The other one that I was asking about?
Stand by. 2 seconds.
Stand by. Standing by.
Stand by for news.
Standing by. So another thing happened today. 45 years ago today.
So 1975.
Bruce Springsteen released the album Born to Run.
In the discussion for greatest non, like if you take out greatest hits albums, so you can't count greatest hits albums, just original albums. This is in the discussion of one of the best original albums of all time. The list would be somewhere along the lines, Mace, of Beatles' Rubber Soul, Rolling Stones' Sticky Fingers, Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, Michael Jackson, Thriller, Carole King, Tapestry, Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run. Somewhere in that universe is this, if you listen to it, is stunning. It has Born to Run on it. It has Thunder Road. It's got Jungle Land. It is one of the great. I think it has 10th Avenue Freeze Out.
I think yes, it does.
Yeah,
it
it's
does.
It's one of the great just albums produced of all time, and obviously Bruce is still going strong.
Yes, he is. Okay, want to know what happened 90 years ago today?
Okay,
this one's kind of.
Boy, this is a big anniversary day.
Big anniversary day. It is Sean Connery's 90th birthday. The original and best James Bond turns 90 today.
Although was not the original James Bond. Did you know that?
There
was one Bond movie before Connery got the franchise.
Was it the Lazenby one?
George Lazenby.
George Lazenby.
On Her Majesty's Secret Service. And then Connery took over the role. Do you remember who got it after him?
Roger Moore.
And do you remember who got it after him?
Roger Moore. Tim Dalton.
Correct. And then who got it after him?
Pierce Brosnan.
Right. And then who has it now?
Daniel Craig.
There you go. You got them all. And by the way, Connery came back and did one to compete with, like, right when Moore was handing off to Dalton.
Yep.
Connery reprised his role as James Bond in, I think it was Never Say Never Again, did one movie. But that was it. That was the end of his run.
Dalton was the worst. He just didn't fit.
Yeah, I thought Brosnan was really good.
Brosnan was good. I like Brosnan.
And Craig's been great.
Roger Moore was good. I mean, they were all good in their own way. Daniel Craig's been good. But here's the thing.
I think he's done. I think Daniel Craig's done.
Well, he's got the last one on the can.
Right, but after this, they're going after a new one.
Yeah, they're going after a new one after this.
I'd give it to Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, I still like the idea of Idris Elba. I think that would be a landmark decision. A lot of people like Tom Hardy for that part. It should be a Brit, no matter what. It should be a Brit.
Except the Brits take all of our roles. Why can't an American take one of theirs?
You're absolutely right. They do take all of our roles. Build a wall. I don't want them winning our Oscars anymore.
Build a wall.
Build a wall.
Easy, easy.
all right. Let me throw something at you. They had 500. Do you know where they had 500 cases of COVID today?
No.
The campus of the University of Alabama.
Okay.
500 new cases of COVID. Now, I asked you,
and they're playing football there, too,
right? They're going to try to play football. 500 new cases of COVID. Is it not a mistake to put college kids on campus right now with COVID running amok?
Sure seems like it to me, but I most kids, even, like, I have a couple of kids in my neighborhood that are going back to college, Mace, even though all the classes are online. They figure they're paying for a college experience. They might as well go have one. But what does that mean in the era of COVID-19? You're not supposed to go to parties.
Yep.
You're not supposed to go to campus to hang out. What is a college experience?
Yeah. How would you rush a fraternity or a sorority? It's basically going from house to house and deciding which house you like the best.
Without talking to people.
Yeah. I just think at this point we're reaching the point of, if 500 kids test positive for coronavirus at the University of Alabama, I don't know how you play a football season. And by the way, they put out a top 25 list yesterday from the AP.
Yeah.
For college football this year.
Are Pac-12 and Big Ten schools in it?
They are in it, which is the stupidest thing in the world. At this point, 39 teams are going to play college football. From the best I can tell, 39 teams. The ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC. And Notre Dame, which will be part of the ACC. That's a total of 39 schools. Now, how can you possibly play for a national championship with just 39 schools involved?
Easy. The schools that are in the Final Four every year, with the exception of Ohio State, are all still playing. You could have a Final Four this year, Mace, with Clemson, Alabama, LSU, and Oklahoma. That's just like every other year.
Yeah, no non-conference games.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? It, chances are that if everybody played, you wouldn't be shocked to see Alabama, LSU, Clemson, and Oklahoma make it to the championship, the Final Four.
In this world with only 39 teams playing?
No, if every team played. That very well could be the final. That was the Final Four last year.
Right, but here's the thing. We will never know.
Right.
We will never know if, for example, USC with Keaton Slovis, they had an opener against Alabama that obviously has been canceled, but we'll never know how good that USC team could have been. We'll never know how good that Oregon team with Marco Cristobal, and I think they were voted number 10 in the AP poll. We'll never know how good they are. Well, there will never be a fair measure for this college football season. So I'm not going to buy into that's the national champion if they get that way. And by the way, I do not think college football is going to happen.
What?
I think the NFL is going to happen. I do not think college football is going to happen.
Some of those teams in the SEC, Mace, make more money than NFL teams.
Yeah, but the reality is they are responsible for kids' lives.
Well, if they were taking that seriously, they wouldn't be playing. They wouldn't be scheduling games, right?
Well, I mean, let's face it, the games they did reschedule, but I mean, everybody has acted as if, right? As if the season's going to go along,
right?
As if it's going to happen. I just don't believe it's going to. I think you're inviting campuses to become like these super spreader places where everybody
now,
winds up getting it.
Are Alabama and LSU and other teams in the SEC planning on having games with fans?
Yes, Alabama's planning.
Socially distant or no?
20% capacity.
Yeah, so socially distant fans. Well, I'll be rooting for them because, again, I think that if they succeed – it gets the chances of other states being able to follow suit. You know, one thing, though, that I thought was weird, Mace, was that, you know, like Nebraska plays in the Big Ten. And
yes.
They were talking about going rogue.
Yep.
Or, you know, you get a team like Oregon. You mentioned Oregon.
Yep.
I don't know what the coronavirus numbers are in Oregon, but Oregon's pretty rural. You know, I can't imagine that they're as bad as we are. If Oregon found a way to play football, I heard people say, well, they can't do that. They're in a conference.
I believe they can't do that. They're in a conference.
Okay, here's why you're wrong. If Oregon found a way to play, that's good for the conference, not bad for the conference. The conference shares revenue. Any money Oregon makes, you know, this not playing football is devastating college sports, particularly
sure.
In the Pac-12. If Oregon found a way to play football and get on TV every week, they would send some of that money to the other 11 Pac-12 schools that could help them with the financial hole they're in. As long as kids didn't get sick, like if it was successful, if it was COVID safe, you should be rooting for Oregon to play. You should be rooting for Nebraska to play because they have to share their money.
What's the point of having a conference if you're not going to agree on major issues? Why is there
because,
a conference?
Because the virus changes everything. The safety of playing football in Southern California is different than playing in Oregon. It may be safe in Oregon. It's completely unsafe in Los Angeles or San Francisco. So if those schools in L.A. and San Francisco can't play, but the schools in Oregon and Washington can, or I'm just making this up now. Let's say Utah, I don't know what the coronavirus numbers are, but let's say Utah and Colorado, they could play safely. They didn't have big virus problems. You should be rooting for them to play because all their TV money, all their gate receipts, all their revenue gets split evenly among the other schools.
Yeah, I know it's pointless to ask for it, but I really want there to be some sort of unanimous consent among schools, among professional teams, about fans and about whether or not they're going to play. First of all, there's no indication that Oregon's going to play, and I'm looking at the COVID hotspot map, and you're right, Oregon does not have, they're not dealing with a huge COVID outbreak.
Right, but I'm making this up. I'm not saying Oregon, there's some secret plan for Oregon to play. I'm just saying that if they wanted to play, like Nebraska wants to play, the other schools in the Big Ten should not be yelling and shouting them down. They should be encouraging it. They get the money.
So I just want to point this out. Right now, the uptrends for coronavirus, the hottest spots are Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Arkansas.
Every name on your list, every single one is an SEC school.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's why I don't think it's going to happen. In the end, they're going to have to put safety first. They're going to have to. That's what I say. All right, coming up next for you, Pete Arbogast is going to join us, voice of the USC Trojans. How do you do? And he's got a special announcement to make. We got that coming up next for you. Don't forget, 3:45, Game of Games, and then 4 o'clock, we got Crosstalk with George Sedano and LZ Granderson, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the
playoff intensity and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN, Mason, Ireland. What's next for the Trojans? That's a very good question. And joining us right now is Pete Arbogast, voice of the USC Trojans. Pete, how are you, man?
Boys, it's been far too long. How are you?
We are excellent, Pete, and we wish that we had a season to talk about with you, but it looks pretty pessimistic at this point, I'm guessing. There is no talk that the Pac-12 would reverse course, right? At this point, you're planning on no season?
That's what I'm planning on, but, I mean, never say never is a motto that we should all live by, probably.
Amen.
So, I mean, you know, if the Big Ten all of a sudden decides to switch course and the Pac-12 is left out there by themselves, I think you might hear some conversation like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Do you think this spring football thing is going to go off, Pete?
We hopefully will have a way to do that by then. I'd hate to think that we're in the same situation then that we are now.
Yeah.
It might look a little different. It might look like baseball in World War II, you know, where all the players are off at war. A lot of these guys are going to bolt for the NFL early is my guess, and
right.
It'll be difficult to field a team like you thought you were going to field this past fall.
So Pete, you are a big honcho at the Southern California Sports Broadcasters Association. It is a powerful group, a powerful force in Los Angeles. In fact, I am looking right now at three microphones that I won for best sports talk show host along with Ireland. And you've got a special announcement that you want to make.
Yeah, we changed the way we picked the Hall of Famers this year. And, of course, we don't know that we're going to have an awards luncheon this January. That's unlikely, I would say, at this point. So what's going to happen with the yearly awards, like the Play-by-Play of the Year or the Talk Show of the Year, those types of awards, they're going to be announced as usual, and we'll probably have some sort of Zoom call where fans can come in, and then they can hear the acceptance speech, if you will, of those winners. But when it comes down to the Hall of Fame, we think that's so important to have that in a live situation because it's a moment of a lifetime, really. So we're going to hold off on actually having those people, whoever they happen to be, get their awards until what time we're able to hold an in-person
right.
luncheon. So who knows when that's going to be.
So you have 10 nominees, right, for this year's Hall of Fame?
We started off with 36 this year, and we got it down to 10 finalists for the Hall of Fame. Used to be we'd just name the Hall of Famers, everybody would know who they were, and that was it. But this year we're naming 10 finalists, and then the board of directors will get together and determine the one, two, or three that will be inducted into the Southern California Sports Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So here they are, and this is the first time anybody has heard them, and we're doing it on your show.
Excellent.
These are in alphabetical order for obvious reasons.
Yep.
The first one up is Lee Hamilton. Everybody,
Lee Hamilton
from Baja to the Canadian Rockies.
Can you hear me in Rancho Penasquito?
Exactly.
Steve Hartman.
Steve Hartman, a good buddy of ours. Great
and
guy.
Everyone.
Yeah.
The late Tommy Hawkins.
Hawk!
Oh, Tommy,
what a
sweet man.
I'm surprised Hawk's not in already, but I'm glad to hear he's on the list.
What a nice guy. What a nice guy he was.
From competitor of yours, Vic the Brick Jacobs, who's been around a long time.
Nicest man in America.
He's the only guy that owns more ponchos than I do.
I'm going to go out of alphabetical order for these next two guys because they kind of go hand in hand a little bit. Randy Cardoon and Ted Sobel.
Oh, yeah.
Both great guys.
Yeah, great guys. Great guys.
Pepe Mantilla.
Pepe!
Oh, Pepe. I would vote for Pepe.
The Spanish voice of the Lakers. He's the best.
For a long time. 25, 30 years?
Oh, almost, yeah. He's Pepe's the best.
The Mason and Ireland Show.
Oh!
Okay. So, Pete, here's what you don't understand.
Yeah.
This nomination alone will make Mason insufferable until you announce.
Yes.
He literally, do not tell him who is on the board of directors. Do not pass go. Do not collect. He will haunt whoever is involved in this decision.
I'm going to start a change.org petition to get into the Hall of Fame.
I wish he was kidding.
There used to be 10 board members. Now there's 9. Jeff Rose, the great Jeff Rose, passed away just recently. Yeah,
sorry to hear that.
The last two, and they're not in any order, as I mentioned, Pepe Iniguez.
Okay.
And a good friend of yours, Jeannie Zelasco.
Jeannie! We love Jeannie.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay.
Wow. It's a lot of people that we have worked with in our careers. Lee Hamilton, Steve Hartman. We've worked with Tommy Hawkins. Obviously worked with Vic the Brick. Pepe Mantilla, great guy. I love talking movies with Pepe. Jeannie Zelasco, who is part of the original Mason and Ireland show. What a collection you have. Now, have you handicapped it? Like, what are the odds that me and Ireland get in?
I think it's pretty strong. Personally, I think it's a pretty good bet. I really do.
Wow.
There are a few others that are being talked about in high circles. The vote won't take place until October, so there's some time between now and when that happens. But I just want to let you guys know, and, you know, I'm a longtime fan and about fourth-time caller since back in the extra days. You know.
Yep. Well, listen, we appreciate that information, and it's not till October. That gives me plenty of time to write a brilliant acceptance speech.
And by the way, Pete, let me just cut to the chase. Who does Mason need to grease in order for him to win this? Because it will become the driving force in his life.
I don't know that they want to be named publicly.
That's probably a good move by you.
I know a few of the guys that are in there.
Joe Calla
and Larry Stewart, you know, guys like that.
Larry Stewart. I'll work Larry Stewart over for sure.
Yeah, work on Larry.
Yeah, I know Larry.
Well, Pete, that is good news. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Pete.
And most of all, Pete, and I mean this sincerely, I need to hear you calling USC games back on the radio soon. So
you and me both, brother, because that's the only income I've got other than Social Security.
Yeah, amen. So hopefully if they don't let you play in the fall, here's to USC spring football.
Double dip next year. I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Pete. Appreciate that.
Okay, guys. Talk to you later.
Cool.
Right. Mace, there has been an outrage that has occurred while Pete was on the show.
No, really? An outrage?
An absolute outrage.
Wow.
Okay. The voting for the 2019-2020 NBA Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, no.
Third place, Rudy Gobert, Utah. Second place, Anthony Davis. Giannis Antetokounmpo is your Defensive Player of the Year. AD was robbed. AD is a better defender than Giannis. I realize I'm biased because I got to see every game AD played. But nobody protects the basket like Anthony Davis. Davis got 14 first place votes. Giannis got 75, so it wasn't that close.
Well, and let's be honest, it was expected. Yeah. Like this isn't a surprise to you. Hello, yes, may I help you?
Yes.
Clear. It was not a surprise. It was not a surprise, but it is a disappointment. And there's a great case to be made for Anthony Davis, without question. It just happens to be this year that Giannis is going to be crowned everything. Like, he is going to beat LeBron for MVP. He beat Anthony Davis for Defensive Player of the Year. Not surprises, right? You don't give LeBron. I mean, I would vote for LeBron. I think you would vote for LeBron. But you don't give LeBron a chance to win MVP over Giannis, do you?
I do. I actually do. I think there are a lot of people that look at what LeBron did. But I think Giannis is the favorite. I think that Giannis is probably the betting favorite in Vegas to win it. And that's okay. I don't care if Giannis gets Defensive Player of the Year and regular season MVP as long as LeBron gets the finals MVP. That's the only one I care about.
That's the one that matters. Absolutely right. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is going to be John's game today. I screwed up. I thought when I deferred, I also got today's game free. But John's going to do it today. I'll do it the next 2 days. But, John, I've pulled to within striking distance. It's Lindsay 7 wins in August.
Okay.
You, 5.5, me, 3, and Jorge, 1.
Yeah, especially if you win today, you'll be in strike.
I'll be right in it.
Okay.
All right, We appreciate you guys listening. Obviously, future Hall of Famers, Mason in Ireland. Shosh is here. Shosh, what are you doing?
Yes. Well, I'm bummed out that AD didn't win the award because I think he was robbed personally. And yes, I am biased as well. But what can we do to help you guys win the award? Because I heard the names on that list. No competition. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Is that mean of me to say?
But what about
I don't think so.
What about Hacksaw?
I know. Remember, I worked with him. I used to call his show. Karen from Poway. You're next on the high-speed sports wire.
Yeah, Shosh, true story once. Mason dared me, because you know I have a really good old guy voice.
I know what you're
so. So Mason dared me to call Hacksaw's show and ask Lee, because Lee would never admit that he didn't know something. He was incapable of saying, I don't know.
Right.
So Mason's nephew at the time was two. His name was Hunter. And so I called Lee and I said, Lee, the kid Hunter Jordan, the recruit for Ohio State, the big man, the big lineman, what do you hear about him? And Lee says, Hunter Jordan out of Ohio, NFL body, questions about his maturity. Thank you for the call.
Completely made up.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I worked with him, so I'm not going to say
Lee's the best.
Any more
by the way,
that.
Under that gruff interior is a very, very nice guy.
Yeah, he was fine. Is
I really
the hair,
like
though,
that.
Did anybody ever pull on that hair? Was that hair real?
Is he still
as
rocking that
we,
hair?
As far as we know, yes.
Yes,
I believe so. Yeah, no, he's a good guy. I'm just messing.
Yep.
Hey, I took you guys to, where did we go? Eagle Rock last time.
Yeah, we were in Eagle Rock before.
I know you were paying attention. Now we're going to Palmdale because Palmdale's fun, but not right now. The 14 northbound
you know,
on Palmdale Boulevard.
By the way, let me interrupt you for a second, Shosh. You know who's from Palmdale, John?
Who?
Pandemic P!
Playoff P!
Maybe that's why I picked Palmdale.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. This is it. I am closing in on the field. Mason and Ireland Show, 710 ESPN. It is Game of Games. We keep track of how many games each of us wins in a given month, and that person becomes the king of Game of Games. Lindsay's got a lead right now. She's won 7 times. Ireland's won 5.5. I've won 3. Jorge, very quiet. I think he inherited 1 from Funch.
All right, and I'm going to do the game today. Mason's going to do them Wednesday and Thursday.
Yep.
It's time for the lyrics game. Now, we haven't done this in a while. It turns out when you just read lyrics from a song, it doesn't immediately go off in someone's head what song you're talking about. So I'm going to read lyrics without any music, just straight. You guys need to name either the song or the artist. I will accept either one. Either one gets you a point. One hint.
I got this. I got
one
this.
Hint.
Yep.
These are all top 10 songs from the year they came out. Okay,
okay.
So these are all hits.
Hits.
There are 5 of these, plus I have a tiebreaker. Your name is your buzzer. Lindsay, are you ready?
Yep.
Jorge, are you ready?
Yeah.
Mace, ready?
Born ready.
All right, here we go. Song number 1. Just a small town girl.
Lindsay.
Lindsay. Need an answer.
Need an answer. 3, 2, 1. Mason.
Mason.
Journey.
Journey, Don't Stop Believing, and Mason is on the board.
Yes!
That's why we will take the song or the artist, Lindsay. So if you know the song, just blurt it out. All right. Song number 2. The club isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar is where I go.
George.
George. 3.
Redhead.
2.
Redhead.
1.
Lindsay.
All right, okay. Lindsay.
Shape of You.
Shape of You.
Oh!
Lindsay's on the board.
What's his name?
Terrible song.
Little Ginger Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran.
That's right.
Ed Sheeran. Jorge.
Redhead.
You had it. All right. Lindsay
John, I think
won.
You should sing these songs.
Mason won. No, but I don't want to give it away. So okay. Here we go. So, it's going to be forever, or it's going to go down in
Mason.
Flames.
Lindsay.
Mace.
That is Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is correct. And
Blank Spaces is the song. Don't challenge me on Taylor Swift music. I know my Swift.
Yeah, you added an S to the title. It's Blank Space, but we didn't need that. You got Taylor Swift. All right.
Yes.
Lindsay, you got to play defense here. And George, if Mason gets one more, he wins it. All right. So two more songs unless Mason gets this, and then it's over. Song number four. Look, if you had one shot or one
Mason.
Lindsay. Three.
Eminem.
Eminem is right. Lose Yourself, Eminem.
Damn, I was right there, too.
It's a workout
I had that.
Song, too, right?
Yeah, all good right. workout song.
Yeah.
It's okay. An everybody's workout mix.
Here is the fifth song. If Lindsay or Mason gets it, they win it. George, you can send it into overtime if you get it. All right, here we go. I threw a wish in a well. Don't ask me. I'll
Lindsay.
Never tell. Lindsay. Three.
Katy Perry?
No.
Okay.
I'll keep going. I know who it is now. Dang
right.
it.
I looked at you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I'd trade my soul for a wish, pennies and dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this. But now you're in my way. Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing, hot night, wind was blowing.
Oh,
where
Jorge.
Do you Jorge.
Call me maybe.
Call me maybe.
Oh!
And that brings us down to the tiebreaker.
Three-way tie.
No, it's Jorge only has one.
Oh, okay.
But, so George, you're out. This is a one-on-one, mano-a-mano.
Okay.
Between Lindsay and Mason for the win. Ooh. Here we go. I'll read one verse. If neither one of you get it, I'll go to a second tiebreaker.
Okay.
Here we go. Tiebreaking song. There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out. I'll lay your ship bare. We could have had it all. We could have had it all. Tears are going to fall. Lindsay.
Is it Rolling in the Deep?
Yes!
Oh, no!
Adele, Rolling in the Deep. And
man,
Lindsay.
That one's tough when you speak it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one does not even sound like the song.
George, find that song, Rolling in the Deep. So, there's a fire starting in my heart. Reach in a fever pitch and bringing me out to dark.
I like it better when you guys try and sing it. It sounds like a folk song.
Yeah, but Lindsay, that was a nice save because I was out of lyric. I was going to have to go to the second tiebreaker. And that puts Lindsay at eight.
Eight. Ireland, five and a half.
Mace.
I'm out of it now. Three.
Mace.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Fire in the dark. This is why you do it at the concert.
And then it picks up and you know the lyrics magically.
Oh, there it is. Lindsay Fulton brings home the win.
Yeah, that's impressive. By the way, have you seen Adele?
She's skinny now.
It's crazy how thin she got.
Yeah.
She doesn't even look like the same person anymore.
Good for her.
I think she looks beautiful. She looked beautiful before, and she looks
I do
beautiful
too.
Now.
I think she looked beautiful before. This is a weird thing that I've thought about now that I've seen pictures of her. You know, your body, right, is part of your instrument. I wonder how her singing voice might have changed since she lost all the weight.
Well, we'll find out. You know,
we're going to find out. Yeah.
Lisa loves Adele, my wife, and so she goes to sing Adele. I said, she goes to see Adele with two of her friends, and I said, so are you going to come back all forlorn and heartbroken? And she goes, what are you talking about? And I said, you've never noticed that every single one of Adele's songs is about heartbreak? She goes, no, that's not true. I go, name one that isn't. And she starts thinking about it. She goes, oh, my God, you're right.
Turning tables.
Every single one of her songs is about heartbreak.
Yeah, it is. Still puts on a great show.
There you go.
Still a great night. All right. coming up next for you, we got some crosstalk coming at you. As we lead our way into George and LZ, they will step in here and we'll mix it up a little bit. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is purgatory time. By the way, the guy who wrote the jingle, KSPN Los Angeles, 710 Sports, is a guy named Andrew Streeter. He is part of the Lauer After Hours crew. I did their podcast yesterday.
Wait a minute.
Oh, Mace, you did that? That's the Lebatard Fan Club podcast.
Yeah, it was fun.
Mace,
they
wait
did a good job.
Mace, wait. Andrew Streeter's the guy who did the Pandemic P song.
Oh, so
are you
he
sure?
is working like it. It is.
Are you sure he's the guy that did?
No, because it's from. This is the Dan Lebatard Fan Show podcast, Lauer right. After Hours.
Yeah,
so same guy.
George, have you heard the
Pandemic P song?
I have, and I heard Lebatard talking about it today too, which was pretty hilarious. But the Mason is right. Those guys created that. They're also the guys that created it for the Lebatard show too. So those guys are really, really good. They have their own Reddit for the Lebatard show.
Yeah.
And like these are all the fans, the people. Mace, when you did the podcast, there was like 20 people there, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't know where these people were coming from. Let's go to New York. Let's go to Red Hook, New Jersey.
Insane.
Let's go to it's amazing.
I did it a couple of weeks ago, and it's a blast. They're really nice, and they're super radio dorks, which is fun.
Yeah, they are. They were great. They were great. Yeah, I was on there yesterday. I tweeted out a link to it today. It was a really fun show.
All right, George, they just announced Defensive Player of the Year. Giannis wins in a runaway. Did Anthony Davis get screwed?
No. Giannis was the best defensive player this year. I mean,
disagree.
He was on a historic defense, John. He was the catalyst to a historic defense. Like, what is the issue here?
The issue is that Anthony Davis protects the rim better than Giannis does.
What?
Not necessarily true. I mean, I guess. But Giannis is also playing on the perimeter way more than Anthony
Davis. That's true.
Hey, LZ's there, I think.
Hey, LZ.
I am here, and I'm not nearly as upset as John Ireland is about the selection of Giannis.
Well, I thought Giannis would probably win, but you have to admit, LZ, you called out Anthony Davis last week, and I was hoping you'd call him out again, because ever since you did, he's had like three monster games.
Good. We should call him out every game then, if that's the case. I'm with LZ.
Yeah, you guys should keep calling him out. Because LZ, you have to be impressed now. I mean, last night he had a plus-minus of plus 37 in 17 minutes.
Yeah, have you gotten off AD's back yet, LZ?
I don't recall being on his back. I just simply said.
Do we need to pull tape?
You can pull tape all you want. I'm pretty consistent with this.
Yeah.
He needed to get his big butt down the blocks, and what has he done? He's
right.
Dominated inside, as I said. And what else did I say? I said I would give you Staples Center if that meant Anthony Davis would resign. So at no point did I not want Anthony Davis. Listen, if you want to call me out for all the things I said about Paul George, knock yourself out.
Playoff P.
In all seriousness, LZ, what is going on with him? He's a much better player than this. Why is he struggling so much?
This is what I said about Paul George, and it's about the great Maya Angelou once again. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time, guys, and this is what I mean. When he was in Indiana, what did he say? That he loved Kobe, he named his dog Kobe, he grew up a Laker fan, he always wanted to be a Laker. Gets traded to OKC. Next thing you know, he loves Russ. Can't think of living without Russ. In fact, he had Paul George Day in Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
you know how hard it is to be a black man and have a whole day named after you in Oklahoma City? And
yeah.
He got one.
Hey, I wanted to quote Maya Angelou real quick, LZ.
Well, hold on.
You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles.
Not Maya Angelou. That's very disrespectful. and so then he gets traded, right? And he decides, you know what, on Paul George Day, I'm going to actually go to the Clippers because I really grew up a Clipper fan and would have preferred a trade to San Antonio just to be with Paul, just to be with Kawhi, but hey, we're all in L.A. So
hey.
Why did I say all of that? To tell you that playoff P,
Pandemic P.
Pandemic P, plagiarizing P, whatever P you want to put on him, just make sure you put the word bogus in between it. Because you can't trust him. You can't trust him.
LZ, the other part of this is that's gotten swept under the rug for a long time and has kind of resurfaced today on the internet because the internet always keeps receipts, are the reports about how Kawhi really tried to recruit Jimmy Butler first and Paul George was actually the second guy. Yeah, that is true.
Well, I'd rather have Jimmy Butler and Paul George.
Me too.
You?
Yes.
Yeah. Jimmy's got more dog in him. He may not be as long, but he's got way more dog.
Jimmy is more of a leader than Paul George is, and he's not, and he's clearly not afraid of the moment.
Hey, why is Jimmy Butler on his fourth team? If I had Jimmy Butler on my team, man, I would hang on to him for dear life. And George, you first. He's now on his fourth team. Why do teams keep getting rid of Jimmy Butler?
Well, I'll tell you this. John, some people don't like when they're called a horse's ass to their face, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Even if they are a horse's ass?
Even if they are a horse's ass. And Jimmy's one of these guys that doesn't suffer fools. It's not like Jimmy – look, Jimmy – the reason Jimmy was on other teams, it's not like – Jimmy wanted more shots. It wasn't right. even like Jimmy wants a ton of money, right? Like Jimmy wants what he deserves financially, but all he wanted was accountability from his teammates. And whether it was Chicago or Minnesota, which we all remember that thing. Remember that allegedly he had the third stringers in practice and he whooped up on Andrew Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns.
And apparently Thibodeau was Team Butler. He liked the fact that Jimmy called all those guys.
Yeah, because he was you know, he coached them in Chicago. And then in Philly, he was finally getting stuff out of Joel Embiid, but he couldn't get along with Brett because he felt that Brett ran a country club. And then he goes to Miami where Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra run a, you know, it's basically military school. You know what I mean? Like, so he gets to Miami and all of a sudden he realizes, wait a second, this is an entire team of me's. Everyone keeps themselves, holds themselves accountable here. I don't have to police anyone. That's just the culture here. And of course, it's a perfect fit. Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy told me this the last time I did one of their games back in March. They said, Eric said to me, he's our kind of crazy. We're not for everyone. Our program isn't for everyone, but he fits here perfectly. And then Jimmy said, you know, everyone thinks I'm a bleep hole, but I guess I'm their kind of bleep hole and vice versa. Well, and that's just man, it. Just works.
Can we also just add the fact that what were the teams that Jimmy Butler played for?
Chicago, Minnesota, Philadelphia,
okay, Chicago. Let's start with Chicago. Where is Chicago now?
Seller.
Trash.
Seller.
Trash.
Yeah.
Then where did he go?
Minnesota.
Then where did he go?
Minnesota.
Yeah. And where's Minnesota now?
Terrible.
Out of the playoffs.
Trash. And then we get to the 76ers. And where are they now?
Disappointment.
Swept, fired the coach yesterday. Yeah.
So I'm more prone to follow Jimmy than I am the previous spots. Because everywhere he's been, they went to the postseason. And when he left, they ended up in the freaking lottery. Minnesota, number one pick. Chicago, number four. This isn't a reflection of Jimmy. This is about the leadership of those franchises he left.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair point. LZ, let me ask you about the big story of the day. Malika Andrews and Tim Bontemps reporting that among – this is not like it's going to happen, but among the things Toronto is considering, the Raptors, is sitting out a game because of the shooting in Wisconsin. They don't feel like the way they've been doing things is working by wearing – Black Lives Matter t-shirts and putting it on the court and speaking about it before and after games. They want to do something more, and they're contemplating sitting out a game. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's a great idea. Because protests are supposed to be inconvenient.
Yeah.
They aren't supposed to fit into your schedule. You aren't supposed to go about your life and not be interrupted by protests. Protests are supposed to interrupt your life. They're supposed to make you stop. And so if the members of the Raptors believe, and remember what happened to their team president too, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
If the members of the Raptors feel as if they're not interrupting America's convenience enough in order to get this message heard, then I agree with them. Because remember, before they went into the bubble, Breonna Taylor's killers were still free. And guess what? They're still free.
Still free, yep.
So I support it 1,000% if that's what they choose to do.
Well, let me ask you this, LZ. There are a couple of players, George Hill from the Bucks, Marcus Smart from the Celtics, have both said, I don't even think we should be playing basketball right now. We should really be tending to racial justice in America. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's his opinion. And there are certainly valid reasons for him to feel that way. I would simply say that he also should consider the economic power that they have when they play. And that while morality is a good compass, it's the dollar that actually moves the needle, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the NFL and it's come to Jesus moments now, that's really not about the shift in morality. That's about the shift in the environment and the culture at large post George Floyd. It's about the money. And once they saw that their money weren't going to be hurt if they did these things, then they decided to follow suit and hire an SVP for diversity and inclusion and things of that nature.
So, LZ, let me ask you this, because I far be it from me to disagree with Marcus Smart and George Hill and the way they feel. But would any of us, would the vast majority of the country know who Jacob Blake is and what his story is if it weren't for what the NBA individual players said last night?
That's giving sports way too much power, man. Absolutely, we would know who he is. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, LZ, I would agree with you, but I don't want to take away the power that they have, because athletics really changed, has changed some things recently, particularly the state flag in Mississippi. Like, that was all predicated based on athletes creating that change.
I think that discounts the years and years of work by all the leaders before them, before we in the sports world started talking about these issues. And I hate when we do that. I hate when we skip over the shoulders we're standing on to focus in on the Giants because they wear jerseys.
And Mace, I'm sorry, LZ, go ahead and finish.
No, go ahead.
Mace, I was going to say, you know what made the difference even more than, and I think it's good that the athletes are all speaking out about it, but what made the difference is somebody pulled out their phone and we have video. Because if we don't have video, this is just another case of nobody knowing about it. And the fact that this is all on tape and we can all see it for ourselves is the absolute game changer. Do you think,
John, to your point, just, I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no, go ahead.
The young man that took the video of Michael Brown in Ferguson, mm-hmm. he's dead. Hmm.
The
young man who took the some of the videos with Philando Castile in the aftermath.
In Minneapolis, yeah.
In Minneapolis. I mean, what I'm saying is these citizen journalists, and that's essentially what they've become, whether directly or indirectly by their actions, they're citizen journalists. Some of them have gotten in trouble. You know, once national media leaves, and they're there at home with some of those same elements that made them famous or made the content they captured famous to begin with, it's still there.
Wow.
And we move on.
Yeah. It's a fascinating story. I'm sure you guys will cover it. George, what else is coming up in the show?
So we've got Kendrick Perkins stopping by at 4:30.
Nice.
Yeah. Our guy Perk. Amin is going to check in at 5:30. Tanya Ganguly in the bubble at 6:30.
Nice.
And then, look, LZ and I are going to cover the Lakers, the Clippers, Luka, everybody's favorite. The Lakers, basically, outside of the Lakers players, the most popular player in the NBA right now is Luka Doncic.
Everybody loves Los Angeles.
By the way, George, Clippers win big tonight, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
LZ, what do you think? He might have gone away.
No, I didn't go away. I don't know if the Clippers are going to win.
Even without Porzingis.
Wow. They haven't won a game yet that wasn't assisted.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, guys, good luck this afternoon. We will be listening. We're back tomorrow at 1:00 sharp, getting ready for game six, the closeout game.
Right.
Portland and the Lakers.